We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I believe our next guest, Craig Hoffman, will be packing his bag soon to head to Indy for the NFL Scouting Combine. What's up, Craig? Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
When is the Combine now? How far away are we from it?
I will be in Indianapolis by this time next week.
Oh, wow. It's next week.
I am there Tuesday to Saturday next week, and we will be on The Fan and have coverage at thefandc.com all week long.
Well, there's a lot to talk about, and what jumped out at me, now I think it was a typo in your email, and then I saw later in your story, it's actually first and second round picks, but 28 of the 32 starting quarterbacks have been selected in either the first or the second round. So for all those people out there that say, we have other needs, which you're right, they got a ton of needs. I can't remember a Redskins team having, a year where they haven't had, where they've had this many needs. But you can't just draft one in the fourth round and hope you hit it on Kirk Cousins. I mean, that just rarely happens.
Right, and of course, Kirk was taken in the same draft where they took a guy in the first round. And luckily, yes, that typo was just in my email. 28 of the 32 first and second rounds, 24 of the 28 were first-round picks. The conclusion I draw off of that isn't that the Redskins need to take a quarterback in the first round. It's that if they're not going to take one in the first round, good luck getting it right, and good luck drafting a guy for the future that's not in the first round. It just is extraordinarily rare that that happens, and it is getting clearly rare because I don't feel like that used to be the case. I might have to do some kind of follow-up piece after Indy where I go back and look
at... Go back like 10 years.
Go back and look at some other years and say, all right, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, where did the quarterbacks get drafted? But clearly right now, something has happened where these quarterbacks that succeeded are the ones that they're able to identify early. And I was also kind of... not surprised, but I did notice as I was going through this exercise just how many of them have been taken in the last 5 years or so in the first round. Now, that also doesn't mean there aren't busts. It just means that the second, third, fourth round quarterbacks aren't coming through to being starters in the league. Does that mean they should just blindly take a quarterback in the first round? No. But if they like a guy, they should take him. And to me, that is the point of all of this. You can't go in with this strategy of, oh, we're just going to take the best non-quarterback. We're not taking quarterback in the first round, and we'll get a guy later. That you're probably just wasting a draft pick.
And then just looking at the list of all the first-round guys who are starters, most of them are high first-round guys.
Yeah.
If not number one picks.
Right, and it's bizarre to try to figure this out because there's no like real mathematical formula to be able to do this of, okay, is that because these guys were worthy of those picks, or is it because, you know, were they really the first, fifth, seventh, whatever it is, best player in that draft? Probably not. If we were to go back and do that analysis, there are times where some of them are, but, you know, is the best player in every draft really a quarterback, or is it simply because of the value and that teams go, oh, crap, if we don't have one, we're screwed. We better go up and get him, or we better overdraft, so to speak, that guy. And again, it doesn't mean that the Redskins need to take a first-round quarterback. If they like Dwayne Haskins and Kyler Murray and they don't like Daniel Jones and Drew Lock, then, and that's hypothetical, you know, that's not how they necessarily feel. Actually, for a fact, no, they were intrigued by Jones as of Mobile. But if they like the Murray and Haskins and they don't like Jones and Locke, and by 15, the first two are gone, don't waste a pick on a quarterback you don't like. That's not what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. It's merely that at that point you have to go, man, we're going to have to figure something else out at quarterback probably because drafting a guy later isn't the play.
Well, they clearly need to figure something out because as much as we know they love Colt, or at least Jay has a fondness for him, the guy started 6 games in the last 7 years. And, I mean, you can say what you want about win-loss record. He's won 1 game in the last 7 years. That was the Monday night game. He can't stay healthy. He's not your prototypical starting quarterback in this league. He fits the mold, perfect backup quarterback. He doesn't scream starting quarterback. And yet, you know, they're in such a bind here. When that news came out that the Redskins were that second team after Flacco, I'll be honest, it shocked me, not because they don't need a quarterback. They do. It shocked me that they'd be willing to spend that kind of money to bring in a veteran, an aging veteran, and have $50, $60 million locked up in one position. I don't think that's feasible. That's why I think they have to go with a young quarterback and roll the dice early. What it tells me, Craig, and I want to get your input on this, is if they were seriously willing to go after Joe, that puts all these other guys on the table, and I understand it. They're better than what we have, and they'd be a help, but it's such a hindrance financially, I don't know how they could swing it.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was stunned.
Right.
And, you know, maybe I had just been so focused on the college guys and trying to get information that I hadn't asked the right questions of people in that front office to really feel out that they were interested in a veteran like that, because I just assumed they wouldn't be. And to me, like, the only way it makes sense to spend real money on quarterback this year is to do something I don't think there – it would be two ways. One, first-round picks cost real money. I think sometimes we forget about that. Oh, they'll bring in a cheap rookie. Okay, well, the cheap rookie is going to be the fourth rounder, and the analysis I just did said that's probably a waste of a draft pick. That guy's never going to be a starter ever, nevertheless, as a rookie. So that would be one way to get a cheap quarterback in here. Or to spend money on quarterback would be do it in the first round, but at that point you're making an investment in your future and it's worth it. The other way – would be to cut Alex and say, we're going to take, and this would be like for a guy like Nick Foles, who you'd want to sign to a long-term extension, or a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, you probably want to sign to a long-term extension, is, look, Alex, we love you, we support you, but ultimately, like, we need to move on as a franchise.
We know you can't play.
If they cut him, how would that work financially?
So the money then goes into this year.
All into this year.
Yeah. So they were the guaranteed money remaining, they would get some insurance relief likely. And so that would help a little bit. I want to say it's like $12.5 million. It's not a lot, relatively speaking. But they all of the guaranteed future money goes into this year.
Which is like what, like $50 million something?
Is it 55?
Yeah, I think it's like 40.
It's only 40?
40 actually, after
no,
the
12?
No,
yeah, you're right. Yeah, so I think I haven't looked at the numbers in a while. And again, the reason I haven't done this is because it's so far-fetched that they would actually do this. And honestly, I don't think they would do this. Like, I think they would just go sign, you know, Joe, or go trade for Joe Flacco and keep Alex. Like, that's what I think they would honestly do. But I think it would make more sense to take a financial beating this year, whatever the actual number is, and then be clear moving forward. And a guy like Foles, who's going to make 20 plus per year, you would take the financial beating this year, and then essentially Foles' money replaces Alex's money moving forward starting next year. That to me is the way, if you're going to do it, that you do it. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're too loyal to Alex, and I think they still are holding out hope that he comes back and is a part of their team and part of their football operation moving forward, and not just some veteran leader type, that he's an actual player for them moving forward. So to go after a veteran doesn't make sense to me because of that. And then you have your stopgap guy in Colt McCoy. Like, he's that guy. Don't go get another veteran stopgap. What's the point of that? How much better are those guys going to be than Colt McCoy? And then you get a young guy. But maybe they do want multiple options because they know that maybe they don't like the quarterbacks in this class or whatever it may be, and they really don't want a rookie playing this year at all. So they want multiple veteran options, especially when I say they, that could be Jay and Bruce, who know there's a lot of pressure in terms of their jobs being on the line for them to win this year.
Craig, what surprised me about the Redskins' interest in Flacco is that seems like a we're close type of move. And maybe that's just Bruce Allen is deluded into thinking that the Redskins are actually close to contending for a playoff spot. That's why it didn't make any sense to me. And by the way, I don't think Denver's close either, so it doesn't really make sense for them to acquire him either. But he's going to be there in mid-March.
You know, I do think they're closer than a lot of people do, but that's also the league in a lot of ways. Like, when I was younger, I worked with a guy who used to always just say, it's an 8-8 league. It's an 8-8 league. It's an 8-8 league. And, like, he's right. The league is designed for every team to go 8-8. And so, you know, the way draft picks work, the way the salary cap is, all the competitive balance factors, and also just the randomness of football. There's so many guys that have an influence on so many plays. You're going to generally have pretty, you know, close competitive type of games. And over the course of a season, a couple teams get a couple bad breaks. Those teams wind up going 6-8, 7-9. A couple teams are on the good end of those breaks. They go, you know, 9-7, 10-6. And that's really where most of the league lives. So the idea that they're close to competing for a playoff spot, I don't think is actually that far off. I mean, they went, 7-9 last year with all of those injuries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at one point were 6-3 before the quarterback broke their leg. That to me says, yeah, that team could compete for a playoff spot next year. But that's different than being a championship contender, and that's where they're not close. And that's where I think maybe they have delusions internally if they think that they are championship contenders. But I don't think it's that. I think they're focused on let's make the playoffs. And again, that they is Bruce and Jay, who know that if they do not do that this year, unless there's some more really weird circumstances, or they may hit a conscious reset button at some point that is approved by ownership, that they may not be here moving forward. That's the goal. And I think sometimes we lose track of that as fans and media who can look a little bit longer term. What's best thing for the franchise? Most of this league is save your own ass. And that's where, you know, a lot of decisions get made.
Joined by Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter. You have opinions about Landon Collins, who apparently is going to be available from the New York Giants. Tell us why the Redskins should be interested.
Because he's really good. it starts there. He's a hell of a player. Physical, has a lot of range, and then, you know, he's got the Bama background, and that matters. These guys that come out of that program have a different mentality than mostly the rest of the NFL. There are certainly plenty of other guys that have elite mental makeups that did not go to Alabama, but it almost seems to come standard out of guys that played for Saban. So to get that leadership on the back end is something they need desperately. It's why they brought in HaHa Clinton Dix, who I believe was at Alabama right before Landon Collins, if they weren't there together. Actually, they would have definitely crossed together. I don't know whether they ever wound up starting together. But because Collins is a significantly better player, I am far more interested in him than I am in re-signing Clinton Dix. That position, safety, is one that we saw how big of an impact it had when DJ Swearinger was playing at an elite level for a stretch at the beginning of last year. And so they need that. They need that in this defense. And so it's one of the few positions, one of the few guys I would spend real money on going into this offseason when I look at the free agent chart. Like, there's definitely other players who I like, definitely other players who I think that they should sniff around on. But if Landon Collins becomes available, I would spend not an unreasonable amount, because that's never the right play, but they should make a really competitive offer. And if they have to overpay a little, fine for Landon Collins, in my opinion.
Hmm. So what do you think they are ultimately going to do at quarterback?
I still think they ultimately wind up drafting a guy and having Colt and, you know, figuring out some kind of third option that's way down the list on veterans. Like,
so
a
Sam Bradford or someone like that?
I mean, Bradford seems like the deluxe version of the minimum veteran option. Bradford, I don't think is playing football anymore. I think his knee's jacked. But someone
of that ilk, though. Yeah,
yeah, someone who is, if he was your starter, you'd go, we're screwed. We're going 4-12. But having that guy in the building, the classic quintessential backup type. But, you know, the more this stuff happens, man, with Flacco, and you hear them, you know, you see some of the Vegas odds on them with some of these other veterans, you're going, maybe some people know some stuff that I don't, and maybe they do make a run at a veteran. Right now, I still just think the thing that makes the most sense financially, and knowing how aggressive they're being and evaluating these rookies, is that they take someone relatively early in the draft, and Colt McCoy and that person compete eventually for the starting
job. Will Murray and or Haskins throw at the combine?
You know, I don't know, actually, which is something I should know at this point. I have not seen any stories that they will or won't either way. I don't think they've announced it.
Yeah.
The thing is, the most important thing is the interviews, and especially for Murray, by the way. After he had the Super Bowl week he had, where he just threw himself in front of a moving bus, like, he's got to go in and impress these guys in interviews, because that stuff matters. I talked to front office people that were like, this isn't good. Like, if you're going to be the quarterback face of the franchise, leader of men, you can't have one foot, you know, one toe in the pond. And so now that he's committed, like, they need to talk to him and really feel out, okay, are you committed for now, or are you done with baseball? And are you ready to love football and put in the work that it requires to play that position in that league? So I'm very curious on that part. But the throwing part, honestly, it's all secondary to the tape.
Mm-hmm.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.